Well, good morning. Are you guys ready to worship the Lord?
Yes.
Amen. Well, Lord, we just thank you for this day. Lord, this is the day that you have made, and as the Psalms say, we will rejoice and be glad in it this morning. So, Father, I just ask right now, Lord, that any of us, Lord, that have had busy weeks or distracting weeks or horrible weeks, Lord, that we would set that aside and that we would come to you, Lord, with open hearts, set our gaze on you, Lord Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord, that we would just get our minds focused on you, as Colossians says, to set our mind on things above, not on things of this world. And Lord, let us enter into a time of lifting you up, of praising your name, of giving you the worship that you're due. And Lord, you do inhabit the praises of your people. Lord, that there would be miracles, you would work in our hearts, you would work in our lives, and you'd help us leave this place changed and transformed. So Lord, we just ask that this day, as we dedicate it to you, Lord, would allows supernatural events to take place in all of our lives. And we ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
So when we come together corporately and we're singing and we're lifting our praises to God, we're lifting it corporately, but I think that sometimes we forget that we can lift them personally as well. And the song starts out singing how he loves me and his love for me, and then it says how he loves us. But I want us to take this next round of it and sing how he loves me. Because even though we're in a group and he loves us as a group, he loves each and every one of us individually and singularly as well. And I want us to be able to stir that up in our hearts as well. To remember that even when you're in a group, you are not just a face. He sees you and he loves you.
Praise the Lord, that was awesome. Try again. Praise the Lord, that was awesome.
Amen.
So, honey, do you want to sit on the other side? Okay. Yeah. That song was perfect for today. So we're continuing talking about the bond of perfection, which is love, right?
Good.
What? Yeah. I need to stand up.
Can you get it for me?
What is it?
The microphone?
Microphone, yes. Here you go. So, how's everyone doing today? Good? It's good to see you. Well, before we get into the bond perfection, I wanted to just let everyone know. Is it not working? Oh, there we go. We have a new member? Oh, yes. You probably want to talk about that. Go ahead and talk about that.
So we have a new member of our church. His name is Tegan Elisha Maverick Lopez. Say that
Maverick,
fast three
Maverick
times.
Maverick with a C, not a K.
So Eric and Nancy spoke last Sunday up here, and Nancy's due date was last Sunday up here, and the baby was born the next morning, early in the next morning. And what was so amazing is she and I were talking right after church, and I asked her from due date when all of her babies were born, and she said, in order, 2 days late, 3 days late, 4 days late. And I said, let's do the one day late for this one, not 5 days late if you can help it. And she's like, yes. And so it was. Like, now she has 1, 2, 3, 4. So it's kind of funny. Hope you followed that.
And
but
he's
anyway,
beautiful.
He's gorgeous. Yeah. We got to go hold him last night and snuggle all over him, and he's just beautiful.
You would think he's Lay's baby, though.
I mean, know.
The way she, like, wants to...
Lay wants to be really close to her, the three-year-old, two-year-old, four-year-old. She'll soon be four. Yeah. So Nancy does want us to express her gratitude for all the wonderful meals. She said they've just been top-notch. She's so thankful for them, and it's really helped, especially with the family of their size now, with, you know, four kids, mom and dad. That would be a little tough for poor mama to have to try to worry about. So she's just so grateful for all the food, and she just wants me to express to you guys how thankful she is for everything and appreciates it all. So...
Amen. Yeah, it's so good seeing him. We got to see him yesterday. So Eric is getting a little cabin fever, though, he said. So, what's that? Oh yeah. I think he's 2 weeks. Is what he's doing. Yeah. I don't think he can handle 40 days. Is it a Mexican tradition? Oh wow.
Really.
That's a pretty good tradition.
Let's get a blood transfusion. 40 days.
So,
that's crazy.
I was asked by Tara actually it was before I actually got sick, and it may have been back in like November, but she was suggesting to put a slide up so that let people know how different ways they could give. Other than just here at the church, we have up here at the front, we have like a treasure chest. You can put your tithe and offerings in, and we have something in the very back. But then also, for those of you who like electronics, you can go to olfw.net, which is a lot easier than typing in onelifefamilyworship.org, and you can give by PayPal. So anyone who wants to do that, go ahead.
So I just like to share why we do what we do. If that's
okay. About without taking...
We don't take an offering. We let you give an offering. It's totally the way the Lord meant it to be, is that you bring your offering to him. And we've been doing this for quite a few years. We specifically felt the Lord tell us two things. One is stop taking offering, let people give it as part of their worship. And two, stop counting. Don't count how many people in your church service. It doesn't matter who's there, as who's he's deemed needs to be there. And you don't need to worry about your number. So we don't count. And we don't worry about the offering. And God has been so faithful to care for us and let us find favor. And he's just been so, so, so very good. So.
Amen. No, he really has. We've been blessed. So next Saturday at 10 a.m., we're going to have a church work day. That's March 27th for those of you who like dates. And we're going to be doing work outside, and we're going to be doing work inside. So if you like working outside, please come with your, if you have gloves, we have some gloves, but I mean, come with your work gear. We have lots of shovels and rakes, but if there's something that you would particularly like to be able to help with, yeah, just go ahead and bring it. And then inside, we're just going to be, you know, because the following weekend is Easter Sunday. So right. Just kind of give the church a fresh look, because it's been kind of a while since we've had a big, big work day. So anyone that can come, and I'll send out a text to remind everyone. So.
And lunch will be provided.
Yeah, lunch will be provided. Yep. And then we have been adding a new dynamic to our Sunday services, and that's been we've been praying for our government and leaders. Probably should have been doing this a lot sooner. Maybe we wouldn't be in the situation that we're in with all the chaos and everything. Had we been praying sooner, who would have thought it? But but praying for our government leaders, no matter whether they're of the party that we prefer or whether they're of the mindset that we prefer.
Right.
Keep in mind, this was written at the time some of the most, you know, horrific Roman emperors were actually over most of the regions that the church was being covered with. So it was an encouragement to pray for them. Why? So that, as it says here, we could live a tranquil and quiet life, undisturbed lives, as it says.
So.
Well, and we all think, oh, it's only getting worse and worse and worse, but it really has been worse. Like back then, it was really bad. Like it was just terrible. So
Christians were being thrown to the lions.
They were being cut to pieces, yep. And I mean, it was bad. So we really do need to thank the Lord for the time that we're living in, because it's truly a call for us to be living in the time that we're in.
COVID or not,
yeah.
Politics, the way they may seem,
right.
Or the world cultural system.
Right.
But is there anybody that I've been praying? Is there anybody that has on their heart to pray for the government? Anyone? Okay. Well, I'm happy to pray. Oh, you can pray it? Okay.
So, Father, we come to you right now. And, Lord, symbolically, I just want to lift my hand so that we are lifting the leaders of this country.
Yes, Lord.
Father, they probably don't know, and they may not care if they're being prayed for, but God, instruction from your very word says for us to have a tranquil life, for us to be able to be undisturbed, pretty much, that we our call is to pray for them. So, Father, we lift President Biden to you. We lift his wife. We lift them as a family. We lift them as a couple. We lift them as a man and a woman. We lift them as your kids, God. And we pray blessing on them. Father, we pray for their health. We pray for their stability. Father, we pray for peace in their hearts and in their minds. God, we pray that each day is a minute closer to you, God, meaning that they can draw close to you through these days, Lord. And Father, I pray that you would bless them with a closer relationship with you, that they would sense your love, your peace, your joy, your comfort. Father, all of the other leaders that make this country what it is, God, we just pray for them. We pray for wisdom, Father.
Yes,
we
Lord.
Pray for health and happiness and joy in their lives. But more than that, God, we pray you'd draw them to yourself. Father, we pray that you would be completely in control of them. We pray that you would be the ones that guide them to righteousness and things that are good. Father, we pray
yes,
that
Lord.
They would wonder, why did I make that decision? And that through that very thing, that they would be drawn to your very heart, God. Father, we pray for this country. We pray for the lives that make these United States what it is, God. Mm-hmm. We pray you would bless each leader, each person. And Father, I want to pray for our mayor right now. I want to pray that you would help her to lead and to lead in a godly way. She is a godly woman, Lord. So, Father, she sits in a place of true inspiration. I mean, she sits in a place, Lord God, where she can make true change. And so, Father, bless her, Father, with her health, and bless her husband with his health, God, and just help her to know that she, as a woman, as Patty the woman, that she is called by God first and is mayor second. Bless her in Jesus' name.
Amen. That's good. So we also want to pray for Yakima County. Just the whole idea that we need revival, we need an awakening, we need our hearts to be all of us awakened to a deeper, closer relationship with God, to experience his love, that more people would realize how much they are loved and how much he loves them. And so, Father, we just lift up Yakima County right now to you, Lord. We lift up all the different areas, countywide, Lord. It covers a lot of territory, Lord. White Swan and Hara and Brownstown, Lord, those areas that are on the Indian Reservation and smaller communities in that area, Lord. Wapato and Toppenish, Lord. Granger, Sunnyside. Lord, Grandview, Mabton. Lord, we pray for the Lower Valley, Lord, that you would just let your hand, Lord, be upon them. Zilla and Granger, Lord, we pray that you would just allow those places to receive the grace of God, Lord, that hearts that don't know you, Lord, would be drawn to you, Lord, that scales that may be on their eyes, Lord, would be removed, Lord, so they could see you and the glorious gospel, Lord. The Upper Valley, Lord, with Tyatin and Cowichi, Lord, and other ones, Natchez, Lord, and Lord, we just pray that there would just be an awakening, Lord, in our valley, Lord, in the Yakima area, Lord, with Terrace Heights and Moxie, Lord, and West Valley, Lord, that you would just allow all of these areas, Selah, Lord, to just come to a place, Lord, of hunger, Lord. We know that we need you to draw us, Lord, to be able to find you. So we pray there'd be a hunger, Lord, that would be put in the hearts of men and women, young lives, Lord, high schoolers and junior high, Lord, and grade school, Lord, all through the different age groups, Lord, that you would just put a hunger in them, Lord, to know you, to want to draw closer to you, to have a relationship with you. And we ask this now in Jesus' mighty name.
I think you said Granger twice just because Moy and Gina live there.
Did I say Granger twice?
I think
double
you did.
Portion. No, I was thinking, did I say Granger? It's a lot of names in the Lower Valley, isn't it? And I probably missed one, so if I did miss one, forgive me. So
bless them, Lord.
Yeah, it should be here in a week or so. We're getting a nice big map that will be in the foyer. So as you guys come in on Sundays, remember to just, you know, pray and bless it. And again, you know, if you just think of the place that you live and the need of the community around you, or maybe the lives that you know around you that have hurts and pains in them, that should allow us to be more prayerful for our community. You know, not just the individuals, but pray for the individuals, but remember that it's the entire community that needs a touch from God.
Right.
So we've been talking about the bond of perfection. I was telling Jesse we haven't finished it yet. Gays going all the way through
it.
It
feels like we have, but maybe not.
Well, every time we start talking about it, we get into other things, which
right.
There's nothing
That's
wrong
good.
With that.
No,
so it's interesting, though, that you guys picked How He Loves Us, because really, to be able to have, as it says here, to be able to, but above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. I don't think we can put on love unless we realize that we are loved.
Yeah.
We can try to imitate a person that loves, and we can try to like model it, but it's very difficult to maintain it.
Yeah.
Like it has to come from our core of our being. At least this is what I've discovered after 60 years. If anybody else just says it's just easy just to love when you choose to love, and even though you're not necessarily feeling a true, genuine love, well, you can come up and talk then, because maybe you figured something out I haven't. Because for me, it has to come from my core. Otherwise, I can't maintain it. It falls greatly short. So let's go ahead and read through Colossians 3, 12 through 14 again.
Okay.
And I'll have you do it.
ESV is?
English Standard Version.
Okay. I don't remember these
oh,
things.
Yeah.
Okay. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony.
So we have this, again, we have this statement of beloved, holy and beloved, with compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. A lot of the attributes of the fruit of the Spirit in that. Bearing with one another. If you have a complaint against another, forgiving one another instead of holding it against them. And then he says, and put on love, or above all this, put on love. And again, stay in love, keep in love. And the way that we do that is reminding ourselves that we are loved. That he loves me. Oh, how he loves me.
Yeah.
No matter if I'm good or if I'm bad, he loves me.
Right.
I mean, some of us have grown up in a church environment, and we thought that that maybe not that God doesn't love us, because we know he loved the whole world, and he loved us even when we were yet sinners. We understand that. But we would somehow think that he would get to a place where he doesn't like us. But God doesn't get to the place where he doesn't like us. He loves us. And I think, you know, have you ever said that, you know, I love you, but I don't like you.
Oh,
you
I
know?
Said it.
Yeah. Maybe, well, you, I don't know if you were saying it to me. Were you
no,
saying it
no,
to me?
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you were saying it probably kids, right?
Yeah.
Our kids get that.
I've got to be honest. There are days that's happened.
Yeah. But the point being is that I truly don't think that you can say that you love somebody, but that you don't like them.
Yeah.
I think maybe their behavior is something. I think God is disappointed. He's grieved, as it says the Holy Spirit is, mm-hmm. with our behavior. But God has us like deep inside of him. I mean, he's holding us in his heart, in his life. We're in his hands. And he doesn't not want the very best for us at all times. And sometimes that means we're going to go through difficulties, because sometimes to get to his very mm-hmm. best requires us to go through trials and struggles and failures.
And hurt and pain. Yeah. What word sticks out to me this time that I didn't notice is the word
harmony.
And how many of y'all have ever heard a song that was kind of out of harmony? Like it was like, ooh, that was a really bad note.
Hurts your ear?
Oh, yeah. It's painful. Like, you can tell if there's harmony or not. You know, like, even in your home, if no one speaks a word, whether or not there's harmony or not. You
right.
can tell just by not even having to speak a word if there's harmony or not. And it says that above all these, put on love. Love binds us together in perfect harmony.
Binds everything together.
Everything. And
harmony.
It doesn't necessarily mean we're going to agree. But we do have to get to the point where we, with all the love in our heart, are agreeing to disagree if it comes to that. That doesn't mean that you guys are going to agree with everything that we say at this table. At the round table, mistakes are made just like they are sitting in that chair.
I don't agree with everything I said, you know, last week sometimes, you know, because
exactly.
you have some time to think
but
about
what
it.
That, but
say?
What it does mean is it does mean that being in perfect love for one another, we can still be united in harmony, even if one thing that is said or two things that are said are not something that's agreed with. I don't always agree with him. Shocker. I don't. In fact, just last week something happened and he and I had to go with what he said because I didn't agree. But I willingly said, okay, you're the head of the household. You're responsible for that when we go see Jesus. So, you know, okay, you can be the one that carries that one. And I just have to go along with it because that's my role to play. And that's not popular in today's day and age with husbands and wives. It isn't a popular place to be. But I don't want to be responsible for his responsibilities. That's not my job. My job is to be his helpmeet. To be the person that holds him up and prays for him, even in the midst of his wrong or right choices. So even in a marriage, there's things that happen that are said I don't agree with, or he may not agree with. But that doesn't mean we automatically fall out of love and we are no longer in harmony. It just means that, do you see what I'm trying to say here? We all are like a marriage. We all are brought together under one covering, and that covering is the Lord. And we have to support one another because he calls us to do that.
And he says that by that love that we show for one another, they'll recognize whose we are.
Right.
They'll recognize that we are Jesus.
Disciples.
Yes,
right.
Exactly. That's good. Here's a couple other translations. We've gone over these a few times, so we'll read these pretty quick. For love is supreme and must flow through each of these virtues. Love becomes the mark of true maturity. I like that, and I picked that up this time, that love is supreme, but it must flow. Love must flow through those other virtues.
Mm-hmm.
The kindness, the meekness, the forgiveness, the
right.
patience with each other. Love has to flow. In other words, love has to be the motivation, or has to be the reason why we do those things. And then the message says, regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic all-purpose garment. Never be without it. I love that. So I quickly wanted to just show you these two Greek words, both the bond and perfection. This is the bond, and it means that which binds together, a band, a bond of ligament by which the members of the human body are united together. And another use is that which is bound together, a bundle. So when we look at that picture, both the thing that binds it and the thing that's being bound are both bound,
right,
which is interesting, or are that Greek word. Perfection, it means perfect, or one who reaches a goal, perfection, or perfectness, stressing the realization of an end in view, or the state achieved when a goal has been accomplished. So it's what takes place, if you think about this word perfection, it's what takes place when maturity is operating, when completeness is operating. So I think we're always going to be striving for perfection. We're not going to reach it. I mean, it'd be nice, but we're always going to be, you know, maturing, but we're not going to be at full maturity. But to come to full maturity, we need to let love be the motivation. And interesting enough, in the King James and in the kind of when you translate the word love, it's the word charity. And if you think about charity, charity is given when you have compassion. Hang on a second. I'm getting a text from Eric. He's coming up to the mic, so hang on just a second. Love doesn't mean trust. Let's not make the mistake that just because we are called to love doesn't mean we need to trust every single person, especially those who hurt you and don't have your best interests in mind. Trust is earned. Love is given. Well said. So in other words, what he's saying is don't just because you want to love individuals with the love of God, we don't sit there and trust them and continue to let them step on our hearts.
Right.
Yeah. Thank you, Eric. I think that was meant for us right now. So getting back to this. So the idea that love, when it's operating properly, it is the what holds together for the ultimate purpose of achieving its goal. In other words, if we look at this picture again, which I love, it shows the bond here is, or the band, and then it shows those sticks. And those sticks are the idea of maturity. Those are the idea of the different aspects of our Christian walk. Patience, kindness, meekness, goodness,
humility,
self-control, long-suffering, all of those different things that are attributes of us being Christians. Love is what holds those together. And those being held together are being bound together.
Yeah.
So again, Eric, you're on there. A few weeks ago, he was sharing how if we try to hold those things in our arms ourselves, that we try to be the bond.
Without
the bond of love. Then they're just going to fall through the cracks because we can't hold them tight enough. And like I said, they end up falling on the ground and people end up tripping on our gifts or on our attributes and falling and hurting themselves. So,
well, I just want to go back to one thing. I keep feeling it.
Sure.
So I'm going to do that.
Go for it.
So in Colossians, when we were reading this, it was compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, comma.
Oops.
Bearing with one another, comma, and if one has a complaint against another, comma, forgiving. So those things are included in the holy, beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, meaning that I've always taken forgiveness as out on its own, in a way. Like, because forgiveness is such a hard thing, isn't it? Like, because the word says we're going to have aught against one another. You know, there will be offenses coming up left and right. But this is all together. It's connected by commas. There's no periods. Like bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving them. That's included in the easier ones of having a compassionate heart or trying to be holy and trying to be beloved and trying to be kind and trying to be meek. I mean, to me, the forgiving thing, I never really kind of joined that in with this, but it says in the next thing, it says, for love is supreme and must flow through each of these virtues. So love has to flow through forgiveness. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, I'm always like, I kind of, when someone hurts me, I'm just being raw here. When someone hurts me, I kind of take them out of the place I've had them in, and I set them over to the side until we can deal with it. And after we deal with it and we're all good, then they come back in.
Do you send them on a shelf or in a doghouse?
Well, depends on who it is. But I'm just saying that if someone doesn't bear with me, or if someone has a complaint against me, I don't necessarily take them out to set them to the side. But if somebody hurts me and I have to forgive them, they are so out of that circle, like quick. Like it takes me no time at all to say, oh, you get over there in your place until we've dealt with this, and then you can come back.
And if
ask
we don't
my
deal
grandkids,
with that?
I'm around them all day long, and if they mess with the Jeej, they're in big trouble. Like, they come out of the five and they go into their own little corner, and it's like, Jeej will deal with you later. Like, is that not true? It is so true.
Like, yeah,
but
yeah,
that's
yeah,
how
yeah.
I am. And so I'm just saying that we have to have all of those together.
Mm-hmm.
And I just saw that they are together, and I'm a naughty girl. I take them out of there because they've hurt me. And that should not have any bearing on it. It shouldn't. And I don't know if I'm making this clear or not, but am I making this clear?
Yeah, basically.
I mean, it's easy to show patience, but it's really hard to show forgiveness. And so patience and forgiveness needs to be on an equal playing field. If I'm being patient with one person, but this other person hurts me, and I'm like, oop, up, out you go. You went against the rules. Naughty you. No, that's not what God says. They all need to be bound together. We need to deal with all of them together. And that same grace that I show to one that I'm impatient with should be the same grace that I show to the one that has hurt me.
Right.
And I don't do that. I'm being vulnerable here. I don't. I'm so human. Doggone it.
What are we going to do with you?
I know. It's terrible. Vicki, you have to come here, babe.
So I'm like you. I'm the same way. To the point that I tell people, when I stop arguing with you, then you worry about it. And we've been having this discussion. And Gaylene was talking about walls versus boundaries. And love can have, you can have boundaries with people, like Eric said. You can love them and you can trust, but you don't always have to trust them. But dealing with the forgiveness, the word flow hit me really hard in this. And then when you put it together, because like you, I always put forgiveness separate. But the flow mm-hmm. word means that forgiveness will flow from us, like our love and our patience and our well-being and all those virtues. I don't have them all down pat. Go figure. That's but okay. But if they don't flow, if we stop them up, then they dam up, you know. And then they can't flow into those, and we can't show people who we are in Christ if we're not flowing it. And forgiveness is not a one-time thing, and that's where we keep forgetting. We keep forgetting that forgiveness sometimes takes it over and over again. We have to keep, you know, just like a wound, you know, that we have to keep washing and putting balm over. Forgiveness needs to be that balm that we keep putting over the wound, or it's just going to fester.
Right.
And it should flow just like everything else. But that word flow is just like
powerful.
Wow, today.
Yeah. Well, and I do, I want, now that you said that, I want to say this. Like, we've lost a child. We've buried a child. I've lost a sister at a young age. Like, she was only 45 when she passed away. And no parent should have to bury a kid. And my mom and dad did. And when she is saying the word flow out, I'm remembering that in the midst of the pain of losing people that are young, you know, our child, my sister, all of that. I held unforgiveness in my heart against the Lord. I acted like me and God were like, oh, you know, I did. But I'm like, how could you take our baby, or how could you take my sister? Like, it wasn't planned. Like, nobody was prepared for that. Right? But let me just tell you something, you guys. God made us. He knew that we'd be mad at him once in a while. I'm not saying it's okay to be angry, but I'm saying he expects us to be angry, but not to sin. That's what the word says. So if God has done something that hasn't gone along with your flow of the way it needs to be, then you need to deal with it quicker. And let me tell you why. We don't have time. When I first met Vicky, Vicky didn't care for me. And I'll tell you why. Because I spoke it straight out. I'm a plain speaker. And to me, it's like this. Why go around the bush 20 times when I can say what I have to say tactfully and you get the point? It saves me 20 trips around the bush, right? Beating that thing to death. I love you, but this is how you get better. And Vicky and I, she didn't care for that, but she came to appreciate that about me because it really helped with her Christian growth and my Christian growth, because I learned to be a little bit more tactful about it. Sorry, Vicky, you were my little guinea. But I'm just saying, when you've buried a child, when you've buried a sister, when you've gone through pain and stuff like this, you recognize really how short life is.
Yeah.
You recognize how quick it is. And if I say something that hurts one of your soul's feelings, I'm so sorry. But God is saying, let's be iron that sharpens iron in love. Let's get those divots out that are catching on the walk of life, that are stopping us, or, you know, the little stepping stone. Don't use it as a stumbling block. Don't trip over it. Step on it. Let's move on. We've got so much to do. There are people dying for Jesus. There are people out there, and they're dying without him too. We need to make sure that we are doing what he called us to do. And so, okay, now sorry, that was so a side trip. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, you're good. Galatians 5:14. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then the Passion Translation says, for love completes. Completes, that's the same kind of idea as perfection. The laws of God. All of the law can be summarized in one grand statement: demonstrate love to your neighbor even as you care for and love yourself. Galatians 5:6 says this: when you're placed into the anointed one. And that's what we are. When we receive Christ, we're placed into Christ. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of us think that we're just somewhat autonomous, and we're walking around, and, you know, and we kind of connect with God when we pray every now and then, and, you know, and we think about him, or we go to church, or we're in a Bible study, or whatever it is, or we do something, you know, more spiritual, listen to a worship song on the radio. We think that that's when we're connecting with God, but we've been placed into Christ. We've been placed into the Anointed One. We are in him. Now, how much we receive the benefit of that, or receive the consequences, because there can be good and bad consequences, is up to us, and how much we remain in him and remain, you know, setting our mind on things above and not on things of this earth. And it says, we were placed into the Anointed One and joined to him. Circumcision and religious obligations can benefit you nothing. This is religious structure or rules and regulations. All that matters now is living in the faith that is activated and brought to perfection by love. So see, if you think about this, when we have this Christian walk that we're living, walking in, existing in, mm-hmm. and if it's separated without love, or if we're walking it without love, we're not moving into perfection. We're not in perfection. I mean, basically, as 1 Corinthians 13 says, without love, you profits you nothing. Whether, you know, you're able to prophesy and have all the wisdom of the world. It won't matter, because love is necessary to accomplish things. That's why forgiveness without love mm-hmm. is hard to maintain.
It's hard to do.
But with the love of God and us reminding ourselves, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Oh, how he loves me, right? As we remember this, well, why should he love me in my behavior with the things that I've done, with all the junk? Well, if I can remember that he loves me in my condition mm-hmm. and all the things that I've done, then I can love others in all the things they've done, even against me. Because everything that we've done is against God, whether we like it or not. I mean, if we have bad behavior and we did it to somebody else, Jesus says, if you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me. We have to realize when we're treating someone, when I'm treating you badly, I'm treating Jesus badly. Now, that's easier to think about in a marriage because, you know, it talks about us being co-heirs. But if I mistreat someone else out here, I'm mistreating Jesus. I'm not just mistreating them. Kind of puts a little bit of a perspective on it, doesn't it? She's looking at me like cross through the eyes.
I do have a question to ask, though. It says when you're placed into the anointed one.
Yes.
Right there. But if we have all the fullness already in us of Jesus, how does this work?
Well, that's a giant mystery, that Christ is in us. The Holy Spirit lives in us, the Spirit of Christ, right?
In all fullness.
In all fullness.
Right.
But then we're also placed in him. So it's a mutual exchange. Relationship-wise.
Yeah.
But also yeah. Spiritually. It's not just a relationship. Spiritually, we're seated in heavenly places with Christ. There's already a part of our being that's in an existence of glory. It's hard for us to relate to that because didn't feel like glory when I got up this morning. Man, my legs hurt. You know, it's like stretching. Where is the glory, Lord? Right? Well, that's the physical part of us. But the spiritual part is going, yes, another day with Jesus. We could just connect with the, yes, another day with Jesus, right?
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. Romans 13:8-10 says, owe no one anything except to love each other. Isn't that something? So if I borrow something from you, I'm not supposed to, right? I'm not supposed to owe that to you. You just need to give it to me. You just need to give stuff to me. Yeah, quit borrowing things from each other. I don't borrow anything from Gabe, but I'm just saying this idea of accept to love each other is he's talking about obligation.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure that you're not holding obligations against each other. I don't know if any of you have ever lent anybody money and you just said, here, yeah, I can lend that to you. And you lend it to them, and maybe they're a brother, maybe they're not, maybe they're somebody at work. And then they see you coming, and they haven't paid you back. It's like it tweaks the relationship. It's like hard to, they won't look you in the eye and everything. So what I do is when I say, listen, I'm giving this to you. If you ever want to pay me back, you can. You don't have to pay me back. Why? Because I don't want them to feel obligated, because that obligation mm-hmm. breaks down relationship.
That doesn't mean y'all can come and ask for his stimulus check or anything like that. Just saying.
Pass the mic. Yeah, that's a good point. Thank you. Except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. So look at, again, this is that completing of the law now, not necessarily the bond of perfection, but the law is fulfilled. And, you know, the law is not just necessarily the Ten Commandments or the Levitical law. You know, the law is the law of how do we please God? Because that's really what those commandments are all about. Pleasing God and having a relationship with him. Wouldn't you guys agree? I mean, that's what those all were about. How do I have a right relationship with God? How do I keep my heart in a right relationship with God? Well, it's to do the right things. But love takes you up another notch. It fulfills it. Now, that doesn't mean that you, I mean, I don't think if someone truly has the love of God filling them, that they're going to mistreat people and say, well, I have the love of God, so I can mistreat you because it's fulfilled. You know, I don't think, hopefully nobody's out there like that. I think you're fooling yourself and you don't believe it, as the song says. But the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandment, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other are summed up in this word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. I think this is interesting because love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And we know that Jesus was asked, what are the greatest commandments? And love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. But the love the neighbor as thyself is the part that fulfills the law. Why? Because the law is really about our relationship with each other, if you think about it. Right? Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, you know, or how about this, you know, in the Levitical law, it says that, you know, you're not going to take something from your neighbor, you know, and if you do, you got to pay back a certain amount.
Right.
The point being is that love is the key to fulfilling those things. Because if I love you, I'm not going to steal from you, right? If I love you, I'm not going to abuse you. I'm not going to say things, bad things about you. Vicki, you got something? You got to come up here.
I just want to ask a question.
Oh, a question.
Okay, the question is, so we know that there's a lot coming down the pike about, you know, sexual proclivities, all this stuff.
Yeah.
And so how do we love those people who are living in that lifestyle without giving them approval? How do we show them that we love them, although we love the sinner, but hate the sin? How do we go about that so that we are loving them completely without them getting the idea that we're approving of what they're doing?
Well, I mean, and okay, so Vicki, for those of you online, she's asking, how do we love ones who are having this, we'll just put it, crisis of their identity? It's an identity crisis. How do we love them without them feeling that we're approving of what they're doing? I think it would depend upon, you know, the depth of your relationship with them, number one. If they're just somebody that you know at work, treating somebody with respect, honor, loving them, hopefully isn't necessarily communicating, you know, what you agree or disagree of their lifestyle or the way that they view their identity. I think the key is here is that, you know, when we look at someone, we have to realize whether they're a Christian brother or sister or whether they're someone in the world, that they are a child of God,
yeah,
that they're His creation. And that He loves them. And so, however God would love them is how we have to love them. Now, love says that it takes no account, does not even take into account a wrong suffered against them. So if you think about, some would say, well, you know, people doing this, they're, you know, shaking their fist at God. Well, some are just messed up. You know, they haven't come to a place of revelation and understanding how much God loves them. There's Christians out there who are living bad lifestyles because they haven't realized how much God loves them, that they can be just the way He made them. Because, you know, there's people who deal with, you know, other things other than sexual sins, vices in their lives, and God is loving them, but He's also calling them to a higher standard. He's calling all of us to a higher standard. He's calling us to be like Jesus. And the only way that that happens is through a renewing of the mind, a transformation, and fully receiving His love. That's a good question. It's a tough question because, you know, the thing is that to sit there and say, well, I don't agree with your lifestyle, but I'm going to, it's very awkward, you know, so you just have to treat people as you think God would treat them.
And you have to remember, one of my favorite stories in the Bible is about the woman that was a harlot that came to Jesus and knelt before Him and washed His feet.
With her tears.
Now that's intimate.
In a Pharisee's house.
And that's intimate.
Yeah.
Like that's like, that goes beyond like just a person you pass on the street or someone that, you know, you work with. That goes, that denotes an intimacy of longing and possibly even awareness that she's not what she's supposed to be yet. And Jesus never pushed her away. And we have to have that kind of heart with people.
I've been friends with a lady that has a sexual orientation that I don't agree with. But if she were to walk into this sanctuary right now, both of us would walk toward one another with our arms stretched out to give each other a big hug, because I truly love her. I truly love her. I know the potential that's in her, because I've seen it before of her potential to love God. So it's not for me with my lifestyle to decide for her what's right or what's wrong. It's only for me to love her. That's what Jesus is asking of us. So anybody that's in that kind of, you know, pondering and wondering and growing and learning, we have to have a heart of love. Yeah. If it doesn't flow, and you know what, again, I'm going to say, be real in it. If you can't flow love out to someone like that, don't go around them. Don't go near them, because they're smart people. People are not dumb. They know if you agree with them or not.
Well, and I would say this, though, that if that, say, that individual, and then they came back, or you started developing a relationship with them, and they got to the place where they could hear from you, hear your heart, if they asked you questions about what they were doing and stuff, you would say, hey, you know, God's got something better for you. This isn't how he designed you. However you would phrase it, you know.
Exactly.
The transformation power of the cross can do mighty things for you. I mean, the key is that we need to, first of all, get the love of God in us. And I think that answers those questions. How do we love others? Because if we're dealing with it, okay, how do I do this in my natural self? It's almost impossible. That's why we have got to get to the place where we are so fully loved, every cell, every fiber, every ounce of us, that we understand and we receive it and we don't question it. Then we can pour that out. I mean, mm-hmm. If you know Jesus saying, the Father loves me. He said that all the time. The Father loves the Son. The Son loves the Father. It was a love relationship they were dealing with. It was not like, you know, well, I'm here just to obey the Father. I mean, it was motivated by love. Right?
Mm-hmm.
My love. One more? No? Oh.
Gotcha. So this is the second time that I've been told to share this. So the obligation of the law was unachievable. And
totally.
That's what made the love of the cross, that the love of Jesus on the cross, so profound to the Jewish people. I mean, they worked for generations and generations to fulfill a law that God knew, and they knew from living life that they could not do. So when God said, I love you so much that I'm just going to take away all that, and I just want you to put your faith and trust in what I've done for you,
right,
and how much I love you, because that's what the cross is, it's love.
Right.
They were able to receive that so fully, because they knew the flip side of that coin, and that's human obligation. So every time that we're trying to love, every time that we're trying to do something before we're saying, thank you, God, for doing it for me, like, that's where the perspective shifts. If you're having a hard time, it's because you're not focused on what God has done for us.
Right.
I mean, our sin is no different than those sins. I mean, the worst sins that you can imagine, it's no different.
Yeah.
Than the little sin you thought yesterday. They're all the same. It's the same playing field.
It is.
Same playing field.
There's maybe greater...
We're no good. We're no
maybe,
better.
In the natural, there's greater consequences.
Yes.
But to God, all sins are...
Equal.
All sins separate us from God.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, Romans 13... 8 through 10, the Passion Translation, don't owe anything to anyone except your outstanding debt to continually love one another. For the one who learns to love has fulfilled every requirement of the law. I like that, who learns to love. It is a process. And the thing is I think we, again, have to first learn that we're loved to be able to love. And for the commandment, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal. Oops. Do not steal, do not covet, and every other commandment can be summed up in these words. Love and value others the same way you love and value yourself. Love makes it impossible to harm another. So love fulfills all the law requires. And so I come back to this, is that Jesus talks about in Matthew 11:28-30 about being yoked to him. It says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your soul. And we learned that that yoke is love. How we yoke ourselves to Jesus isn't through some kind of religious, you know, ritual, or, you know, or some kind of fulfillment of duties. I go to church every Sunday. I'm yoked to Jesus. Or, you know, I read my Bible every day, or I pray 20 minutes every day, and that's how I'm yoked. No, you're yoked to Jesus because he loves you. You're yoked to Jesus because, like Myla said, relationship. Because you're committed to that relationship just as he's committed to that relationship.
Right. And there's not a yoke for Sunday that you take off and then put on the yoke for Monday through Saturday.
A little lighter yoke.
It's all the same.
Yeah.
So your wardrobe is easy. Just put on that yoke of love. And that comes with this prayer. Lord, teach me, help me learn to love.
Amen.
Help me learn to love like you do. And if we can truly pray that prayer, that's the only prayer we'll ever need to learn to pray, because everything else is wrapped up in it.
Amen. Does anyone have anything else? Anyone? No, Moy? Okay, good. All right. Well, Father, we just thank you for this time together. And Lord, we ask again that you would help us all to learn, Lord, how to love, how to be loved, and how to love. And Lord, that we could come to the place, Lord, where we are operating in the bond of perfection in everything that we do, that it be motivated by love, it be driven by love, the intention would be to love. Lord, we know that love, the perfect love of God, Lord, it eradicates, removes all fears. We know that this world right now is so fearful. Lord, we've heard testimonies of people who don't even want to come out of their house. Lord, we know that there's people that are afraid of what's going to happen tomorrow, Lord, in the financial system and with the political system. Lord, there's just a lot of people who are anxious. And Lord, we know that your love can give them what their heart needs. So right now, Lord, we just release the love of God into this community, into Yakima Valley, into the full Yakima County, Lord, into our state, Lord. Lord, we release the love of God into this region of the Northwest, Lord. We release the love of God, Lord, into the West Coast, into the central parts of the United States, Lord, into the East Coast, Lord. We just release the love of God to the entire United States, Lord, into Mexico, Lord, and down along all of Mexico and into Central America, Lord, and South America, Father. We release the love of God. We release the love of God to Canada and upper parts of North America, Lord. We release your love to Europe, Lord, and Lord, to Russia, Lord, and to Africa and China, Lord, and India, Lord, and all of the Philippines and Malaysian islands, Lord, and Australia, New Zealand, Lord, anywhere that we haven't mentioned, Lord, in the world, Lord, release your love, God. We need the love of God to come and fill the hearts of people. We just ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Remind us about the
work day. Oh, I'm supposed to remind you about the work day. So I'm reminding you about the work day. That is going to be next Saturday
at
10 a.m. So you guys can have plenty of time to sleep in and have a little bit of a respite before you come, and we'll get the work done. Amen. All right, well, bless you all, love you, and have a great day.